This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition, our bulletin of church news to be followed by Panorama, and then our feature of Echo of the African Synod. Today we shall close with a segment dedicated to Millennium Appointment. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. As we might have already heard, Pope Leo XIV on Sunday visited the mayor of Rome just before celebrating Mass and taking possession of his Archbasilica of St. John Lateran as Bishop of Rome. At the end of the St. John Lateran event, the Pope made the short trip to the nearby Basilica of St. Mary Major, where he presided over a prayer service and prayed in the Pauline Chapel before the icon of the Blessed Mary Salus Populi Romani, translated in English as Blessed Mary Protectress or Salvation of the People of Rome. This is the sacred image before which many pontiffs, including Pope Francis, have entrusted the Church's most important intentions. After offering flowers to this ancient Marian icon and chanting the Magnificat, the Pope then paused to pray at the tomb of his predecessor, Pope Francis, who is buried in the same basilica. Before returning to the Vatican, the Holy Father stepped out onto the basilica's loggia to greet the faithful gathered outside. He began by extending peace to everyone before expressing his gratitude for their presence. The Holy Father then recited a prayer asking the Blessed Virgin Mary to guide the bark of the Church to a port of peace, avoiding dangers and resisting the waves. He also implored her to protect Rome and console those who arrive there homeless and defenseless. On Monday, Pope Leo XIV received in separate audiences the prefect of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez, the Secretary General of the General Secretariat of the Synod, Cardinal Mario Greich, and the Emeritus Archbishop of the Italian Archdiocese of Aquila, Monsignor Giuseppe Petruocchi. The Holy Father also welcomed to the Vatican the President of the Republic of North Macedonia, Madame Gordana Sujanovska Davkova, and her entourage. Following this encounter, the Pope also met with the Prime Minister of Ethiopia, Abiy Ahmed Ali, and his entourage. The Vatican reported on Monday that the Apostolic Library and the Konag Foundation have inaugurated a cultural and philanthropic initiative that they are calling as Codex. This features a collection of masterpieces done by Caravaggio, Benin, and Tintoretto in dialogue with the manuscripts and archival documents from the library's collection. Devin Watkins has more.
The Codex exhibit in the Vatican Apostolic Library forms part of a long-term collaboration with the Kolnagi Foundation to promote cultural preservation and academic research. The exhibit features masterpieces by Caravaggio, Bernini, and Tintoretto in dialogue with rare manuscripts and archival documents from the library's collections. It was launched on May 23rd and runs until June 2nd. It includes efforts to refurbish the library's archive sections and digitize rare manuscripts under the aegis of the Association of Patrons of the Vatican Apostolic Library, established by the Kolnagi Foundation. According to Father Mauro Mantovani, prefect of the Vatican Apostolic Library, the initiative connects cultural objects in a display that emphasizes both their uniqueness and their complementarity. He said the Codex exhibit offers a privileged opportunity to promote a profound dialogue between works, spaces, and meanings. It explores visual and semantic connections between fine arts and historical memory, and also places artworks alongside documents that trace their commissioning or illuminate the cultural context in which they were created. Candida Ludovica De Angelis Corvi, one of the exhibit's curators, said the title Codex was chosen to convey a sense of ciphered belonging. Each piece, she said, is a testament to history and to our rereading of it. Archbishop Cesare Pagazzi, librarian and archivist of the Holy Roman Church, expressed gratitude to the Colnaghi Foundation. He said their generous support enhances and strengthens our commitment to the dissemination of culture. I'm Devin Watkins.
In Nigeria, a Catholic priest was seriously injured after being shot at on the evening of Saturday, May 24th. Father Solomon Atongo was traveling with two others when armed assailants attacked their vehicle along the Makurdi-Naka Road in Benue State in southeastern Nigeria. After shooting the priest and believing he had died, the bandits took the other people away to an unknown location. The news of Father Tongo's injury was made public in a statement signed by the Chancellor of the Diocese of Makurdi, Father Shima Okpanya, who said he was writing on behalf of the Bishop of Makurdi, Wilfred Chikupa Anagbe. The Chancellor said that he wanted to inform and request for the prayers of the faithful and all the people of goodwill for the quick recovery of Father Solomon Atongo, who was attacked and shot around Tiolaha Makurdi Naka Road by suspected terrorist gangs of Fulani headsmen. These have been responsible for violent robberies, murders, and kidnappings in various areas of Nigeria. In the past 2 years, the Makurdi Naka Road has been the scene of attacks and violence by criminal gangs who have transformed the extensive stretch of forest along this road into camps and hideouts. Their victims include wealthy people, political leaders, and public officials, as well as ordinary citizens who are often kidnapped for ransom. Nigeria has been experiencing insecurity since 2009, when Boko Haram insurgency began with the aim of turning the country into an Islamic state. Catholic bishops in the country have continually challenged the government to prioritize the security of citizens. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Ghana has temporarily shut down its embassy in Washington, D.C. after a major corruption scandal involving visa fraud and unauthorized payments was uncovered by a special audit. Foreign Affairs Minister Samuel Ablankwa announced the U.S. Embassy closure on Monday, describing it as a necessary step to restore integrity and accountability in Ghana's diplomatic missions abroad. The audit revealed that a locally hired information technology officer or IT officer at the embassy since 2017 created an unauthorized link to the embassy's website. The link redirected visa and passport applicants to his private company, where they were charged unofficial fees ranging from between $29 and $60. All foreign ministry staff posted to the Washington, D.C. embassy have been recalled to Accra. The embassy's IT department has been dissolved, and all locally recruited staff have been suspended pending further investigations, the minister said. Mr. Blanqua added that the embassy will remain closed for a few days as they finalize the ongoing restructuring and systems overhaul. Uganda has suspended all military cooperation with Germany, accusing German Ambassador Matthias Schauer of engaging in subversive activities and supporting anti-government groups. The Uganda People's Defense Forces spokesman Chris Magezi made the announcement on Sunday, citing credible intelligence reports. He gave no details for the action in a statement he posted on X. In a separate post on the platform on Sunday, Uganda's military chief, Muhoozi Kainerugaba, said the military was having problems with the ambassador as a person. A spokesperson for Germany's foreign ministry said at a press conference in Berlin on Monday that the accusations against the ambassador were absurd and without any merit, and rejected them in the strongest terms. The German spokesperson said there was no formalized military cooperation between the two countries. Uganda has its troops in the African Union peacekeeping force in Somalia, which is partly funded by the European Union, of which Germany is a member. The African Development Bank will meet in Ivory Coast this week to pick a new president. Five candidates are vying to replace outgoing president Akinwumi Adesina of Nigeria, who will step down in September after serving the maximum 2 5-year terms. The 5 candidates are Swazi Chabalala Bajubulile from South Africa, the sole female among the 5, Amadou Hotz from Senegal, Samuel Munzele Maimbo from Zambia, Sidi Olta from Mauritania, and Abbas Mahamat Toli from Chad. The winner, who must secure 51.01% of the votes from the 54 African member states of the bank, and in a second vote from all 81 members, including non-African ones, will be announced on Thursday. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
The African Synod, the Church Alive in Africa Today.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. In this edition, we bring you a special report from our correspondent in Abuja on the ongoing 4th edition of the annual Communications Week, or COMS Week, taking place across Nigeria. This year's COMS Week is being observed from Sunday the 25th of May to Sunday the 1st of June and will culminate in the celebration of World Communications Day. According to a press release, the program is designed to raise awareness about the power and influence of the media, encourage critical thinking, and inspire responsible and active media engagement among all members of society. COMS Week is being celebrated in parishes, pastoral units, chaplaincies, seminaries, convents, and all Catholic institutions throughout the country. A special manual has been prepared to guide daily reflections throughout the week, focusing on selected topics built around the central theme for this year. Share with gentleness the hope that is in your heart. To learn more about this year's program, Delphine Asu visited the National Directorate of Communications at the Catholic Secretariat of Nigeria in Abuja and filed this report.
The annual Communications Week is a highly anticipated event among Catholic communicators. The visit to the Directorate of Communications at the Catholic Secretariat of Nigeria sparked a discussion on advancing media within the Church. Very Reverend Father Michael Umoh, National Director of Communications, enthusiastically discussed efforts to promote media literacy among pastors and the lay faithful.
We've encouraged many of our directors of communications to seek support from anywhere and make sure they run media training or seminar for their priests. And I wouldn't say all, I wouldn't say many, but some are keen to that already. I've done it quite a number of times in Lagos already. The current director has done it again. And I just wish every director will try to work out a media seminar and workshop for all priests. Diocese should take that up because for many reasons, apart from the fact that the tools of the media are necessary for evangelization today, the priest needs to understand the media because as a priest, he has a duty to form his people. The duty of priest does not stop at just administering the sacraments. Formation of the people is a key aspect of the life of the priest. In fact, after the sacraments, the next other side of the coin, which is also very important, is formation. And that formation is not just catechetical, not just about spiritual and even on temporal matters, particularly temporal matters like the media that influences culture, their life, their choices, their behavior, and has the power to counter even the gospel values. So they need to understand it so that they can help themselves, help the people, and also help parents to be able to help their children.
He then reflected on the theme for this year's Communications Day celebration.
The focus of Communications Week every year always derives from the theme chosen by the Pope and the theme on which he has written his message. Last year was on artificial intelligence, which resonated so much beyond the church, and there were plenty discussion and talk about it. This year, the theme is Share with Gentleness the Hope that is in your heart. And that theme seeks to underscore the need for being narrators of hope, because this year, the Holy Father, may God rest his soul, Pope Francis, declared the Jubilee Year of Hope. And fusing that theme with the theme of the communication, he believes, and rightly so, that journalists and those in the media, content creators and whatever, have a big role to play in enlivening hope in the society. And he's saying, even when the situation is bad, as it seems to really be now with war everywhere, troubles, crisis, terrorism, he's calling all of us to try our best. Even when you have to tell that truth, don't tell it fatalistically as if there's no more hope again. Let there still be mercy. Let there be room for hope. Tell that story with some angle that give hope to the vulnerable, give voice to the voiceless, you know, and encourage rather than dampen spirit. And not just about journalists, that even in our online interactions, we should be conscious to bring our faith to bear. Many of us belong to different platforms and whatever. We don't have to be quarrelsome, antagonistic and whatever on platforms. We have to be people that share hope, responsible use, loving and encouraging, even in our platform online interactions.
He concluded with an update on his office's preparedness for the 2025 Communications Week.
There's a manual ready, a Come Week Daily Guide for the whole week, beginning from Sunday to Sunday. But we will expect that in all parishes, as directed by the bishops, parish priests will do their best to ensure that they create awareness and the environment for their parishioners to participate in that program. Each day is just about 3-4 pages put together by experts that have expanded that theme into different topics and practical guides. That manual also allows room for practical discussions, because each day there are 3 questions put there for people to ask themselves and discuss. But beyond that, there will also be a 3-4 minutes video every day summarizing the topic for the day, so that if for any reason one is not able to participate in any group discussion throughout that week, even listening to those 3-4 minutes clip puts one in the mood and know of what the topic is about and how it applies. Beyond this, we expect our seminaries and our institutions to also adapt. And I can say we've received messages already from like the Catholic Institute of West Africa, how they have adapted it and how they want to celebrate it. And kudos for that, and some other institutions and dioceses. On Wednesday the 28th, at a national level, we'll be holding public lecture. The primary audience of that public lecture will be journalists and press people. And the topic we'll be dealing with will be media with gentleness, a path to being narrators of hope in a distressed nation. So we are contextualizing that global theme by the Pope to our own situation now. And we've brought experts, media experts, to come and speak with journalists and call the attention to the fact that, yes, the nation Nigeria is going through too many forms of distress at the moment. How do you use your position, your pen, your tools to bring hope instead of hopelessness to the nation?
In Abuja, Nigeria, Delphine Asu reporting.
The voice of Reverend Father Michael Umo, National Director of Communications for the Catholic Church in Nigeria, in that report by Delphine Asu. And that's all for this edition. Until the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
You are welcome to this week's edition of Millennium Appointment. As you heard on this program, African Union member states marked the 62nd Africa Day on Sunday, May 25th, with the theme Justice for Africans and the People of African Descent through Reparations. Africa Day commemorates the founding of the Organization of African Unity, the OAU, on May 25th, 1963, in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, by 32 African states, whose main objectives were to free African countries that were still under colonialism, to unite African nations together, and to find solutions to the challenges the continent was facing. The OAU evolved into the African Union on July 9, 2002. This year's theme honors the memory of Africans who suffered under slavery and colonialism, and asserts the right of Africa and its diaspora to truth, justice, and restoration. The president of the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar, SECAM, Cardinal Fridolin Ambongo of Kinshasa in the Democratic Republic of Congo, issued a message for the occasion, inviting Africans to build the Africa they want. Referring to this year's theme, he pointed out that the Catholic Church in Africa will continue to repeat its concerns for the urgent challenges facing the continent, which he enumerated as injustices, terrorism, conflict, poverty, inappropriate formal education, health care dialogue, interreligious dialogue, ecology, refugees, displacement of people, and human trafficking. Quoting the African Commission on Human and People's Rights, he said conflicts on the continent have forced millions to flee in order to escape suffering, human rights violations, and starvation, stressing that women and children suffer most in these situations. He invited African leaders to pay attention to the appeals of Catholic Church leaders such as Pope Francis and now Pope Leo XIV, who have called for an end to conflicts and the exploitation of Africa, and who have reinforced the Church's commitment to justice, peace, and the dignity of all peoples. Cardinal Ambongo recalled the conference organized in February this year by the Justice, Peace and Development Commission of the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences in Africa and Madagascar under the theme, The Role of Faith Communities and Ethical Organizations in Advancing Justice for Africans and People of African Descent through Reparations. The conference was attended by officials of the African Union, representatives from religious organizations, representatives from scientific and ethical institutions, representatives from African cultural associations, and representatives from international civil society. The participants launched an appeal to the world for the reparation of the damage caused to Africans and to people of African descent. In line with that, Cardinal Ambongo called upon African and world leaders and all people of goodwill to mobilize and work for justice and human rights in Africa while combating all forms of discrimination, economic exploitation, illegal exploitation of natural and mineral resources, inhuman and degrading treatment, and all kinds of suffering endured by Africans. He concluded his message with an invitation to Africans to be pilgrims of hope, to promote and protect every single life, to reduce poverty, to take care of our planet, Mother Earth, our common home, and to promote peace and hope everywhere on the African continent and beyond. President John Dramani Mahama of Ghana also addressed a message to the people on the African continent. He is a strong campaigner for reparations for the injustices committed against Africans. He explained what reparations implied in this year's theme mean.
For too long, the legacy of slavery, colonialism, and neocolonialism has cast a long shadow on the lives and progress of Africans and people of African descent. These historical injustices have left deep scars. Reparations are not merely about financial compensation. They are about acknowledging the profound and enduring damage inflicted upon our people. They are about confronting the uncomfortable truths of our past and taking concrete steps to rectify these wrongs. We seek justice. Justice that encompasses a comprehensive range of measures, including official and unequivocal apologies from the nations and institutions responsible for perpetrating these historical injustices.
Mr. Mahama explained that the challenges related to the colonial past that Africa continues to suffer must be addressed with determination.
Let us work together to address a crippling debt burden that continues to stifle economic growth in many African nations, a direct consequence of exploitation and unfair trade practices. To provide resources and expertise to empower African nations to achieve sustainable development and participate fully in the global economy. To invest in the educational initiatives to promote a deeper understanding of African history, culture, and contributions to the world.
That was His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, the President of the Republic of Ghana, addressing a message to Africans on Sunday, May 25th, which was observed as Africa Day. I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime.
This is the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and that is all we have time for today. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba, and praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.